Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. We'll keep you up to date on what's happening in Boston. If anything happens, we'll break in, obviously, with a bulletin. One dead, the other still on the loose. They're literally going house to house in a Watertown neighborhood in what has been simply an unbelievable day of developments. Tomorrow, by the way, here, we'll bring it back home. The blue-white game will take place tomorrow at Beaver Stadium. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. You're coming out to Beaver Stadium, or if you're going to Matheson tomorrow night for the Bucknell game, stock up at Brewers Outlet. Perfect weekend to stock up as well. Pickle bar wide open. You and Buhner, by the way, have taken the pickle bar to a brand new level. I sense pickle bar sales have gone way up after the two of you.
You know, that's not a bad idea, is to bring some pickles to Christie. I like that idea.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect tailgate way to go. And on top of that, you and Buhner have been able to take this to a level I don't even think anybody at the pickle bar ever realized it could get to.
I didn't realize Buhner was a pickle connoisseur.
Well, we've always kind of looked at the last part of that word when it came to Buhner, but I mean, it's fine. connoisseur. Some people are wine connoisseurs. Buhner's a pickle connoisseur.
You could call him a gherkin guy.
He's a gherkin guy. I miss Buhner. Where is Buhner?
I haven't heard from him in a while, actually, come to think of it.
Buhner-less. We have been Buhner-less for a while.
As opposed to Buhner-free, which sounds more negative.
Yeah, I know it does. But also, the snacks, the beverages, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. I am safely ensconced at the Chateau. The Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Hilster's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Look, if you have any questions about the football team heading into the blue-white game tomorrow, I think I can answer them for you. At 1-800-795-9565, Hilster's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove, routes 11 and 15. This morning, I had a chance to sit down with head football coach Bill O'Brien, talk about the spring and his team.
Go from day one to now, how much better do you think your football team is in a month?
I believe we're better. I believe that a year makes a big difference. These guys came out from day one, and they knew the expectation of the pace of practice. They knew the plays, especially the guys that have been here. And I think the quarterbacks have improved over the spring, and I believe we're better. So the goal tomorrow is to go out, have fun, do a great job out there, and come out of it healthy.
In a lot of ways, was last year a foundation for what you want to do, and then you could build upon it starting this year?
There's no question that the guys that played last year for us did a great job of setting a foundation in practice and in the games and in the weight room and in the training room. So no question, we set the foundation, and it was pretty successful, and now we have to build on that.
Every team takes on its own personality, and I think a lot of people don't realize that sometimes. Every team really kind of starts over. Have you seen this team start to develop a personality, and what might it be?
Every year is different. You're exactly right, Steve. Every year is different. This year's personality is going to be interesting to see. I believe right now I think it's toughness. I think we're tough. I think we've got great character. I think we have really good chemistry. I think we have leaders in every class, you know, with the exception of the true freshmen, obviously, that aren't here yet, most of them. But we have leaders in the sophomore, junior, senior class. And so I think that's interesting. And so, yeah, it'll be a different team. We'll do different things. We have different players at different spots, and it'll be fun to watch.
When you look at the quarterbacks and you evaluate them, how important is the evaluation pre-snap and then post-snap?
Well, it's really important, and really that's where the film sessions come in, where these guys have to do a great job of, when they're watching film, put themselves in the position that they are on the film, on the field. So I think it's gotten better. It's got a long way to go, though. It's not easy. You know, these guys are both 19 years old. They're young. They work hard. They're smart. They're good guys. But it's not easy. And I think there's been a lot of improvement, but there's still a long way to go.
Okay, and then the next part of that is that in basketball, we refer to them as gym rats.
Right.
They want to be around it all the time. They want to look at film. They want to get out there and take shots. In a football sense, are these two guys gym rats in some ways?
I think they are. I've seen them in this building on the weekends, you know, when we're not practicing. I've seen them in this building early in the mornings. I've seen them in the weight room getting extra work in. I've seen them stay after practice and throw extra. So I don't think work ethic's a problem. I don't think anything's a problem. I think it's just a matter of being patient and hoping that they improve every single day.
As I walk on a sideline and there'll be a session over and you're out coaching someplace else, I always hear your players talking to each other about what they're seeing. What does that tell you? Instead of like, hey, being kids and backing off and like kidding around a little bit, but they're talking about what they're seeing.
Yeah, we've had a lot of visiting coaches here this spring that say the same thing, and that's good. We as a staff, we try to tell our guys, look, when we're at practice, we are totally focused on football. Yeah. So even when you're not in the drill, you should be getting mental reps on what's going on in the drill. And it's okay to turn to your buddy or your teammate and say, hey, what did you think about that? Would you have made that call? Would you have made that read? Would you have fit that run that way or whatever? And the same thing in the locker room. And, you know, that's something that I really saw a lot of in pro football, where those guys obviously lived and breathed and slept football 24/7. And we're trying to just tell our guys here, look, when you're in the football environment, let's talk about football.
Last year when you exited this, you said, you know what, I want to get this to a core 60, right around there, get it to kind of an NFL kind of number. Is that what you want to do with this time around, or has that changed a bit?
That's a great question, Steve, and that's something that I believe we're working towards. You know, we have to, right now as the rule states, we have to be at 65 by September of 2014. You know, I would say going into this year, as it looks right now, we'll be under 70 scholarships for the 2013 season. So we're basically working at that 65 number right now. And that's the way it is. We have to get down. That's the rule. That's what I've always said. These are the rules with which we play under, and that's what we have to do. So we do. We have a good core of players. We feel good about all the players. You know, some guys need to improve more than others, obviously, but we feel really good. We enjoy coaching these guys, and we're going to show up every Saturday and compete no matter how many scholarships we have. So
you had to take a couple guys, and you took Trevor Williams and Malik Golden. You flipped them over to the other side of the ball. What kind of adjustment did they make to playing over there? Because you never did switch them back.
Yeah, anytime you make a switch like that, there's always a little bit of hesitation. Number one, you want to do what's right for the team. You want to do what's right for the individual player. You want to make sure that really they want to do it. You don't want to force a guy into that position. And with both those kids, Trevor and Malik, we brought them into my office, said, hey, look, we feel this is something that can help our team. They were all over it. They said, coach, whatever you need to help our team. This is the type of kids we have, Steve. And they moved over there, and both of those guys have shown up every practice. They're hard workers. They're smart players. They have good ball skills. They're quick. They're fast. They've got good size. So we believe that both those guys will help us next year.
Once you get through this, you don't get them yourself individually until you get to camp. Okay, not the easiest way for a coach to live. It's a rule I've never liked, but that's but it's the rule, though. There are a lot of rules we have to live by these days.
Right.
But what do they need to do between the end of this game and then the start of camp?
The beginning of practice 14 was really what we call an introduction to the summer, meaning our coaches talk to these guys about drills that they should be doing over the summer and how they can get together and work with each other. And so it was like a 20-minute period on that. And, you know, you're right. And it also involves watching film together and again, talking football together. But, you know, we've got good kids. We've got good leadership on this team. These guys will have a good summer. You know, Fitzy's weight program will be great for these guys this summer. The conditioning program will be great. And these guys will work at it. And it is. You're right. A lot of it's going to be up to them, how much improvement you make over the summer. We just said in our staff meeting this morning, a guy like Matt McGloin made a huge jump in the summer. When we came back for training camp last year, Matt McGloin was way better than he was at the end of the spring. And so that's an example of all the positions of what they have to do to get ready to play.
Bill, thanks.
You got it, Steve.
Head football coach Bill O'Brien. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bevers Supermarket. We'll come back, open up the lines, take your questions at 1-800-795-9565 in the Hilster's General Store Hotline on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Our number 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Salem's Grove, routes 11 and 15. Tornado watch in effect until 11 o'clock tonight. Line of storms moving through now, here moving to the northeast. All right, I know you love the little alarm there.
Oh, it's great. It's great. So there's a tornado watch. There's thunderstorm watches, some warnings out, Bedford area and Perry County. I'm well informed of the weather situation right now from the National Weather Service. We have a little machine that goes off every time they send an alert. It's great.
Well,
I have never been so weather informed in my life. I will never be affected by the weather thanks to that machine. And I suppose that's what it's there for. That's why it's there. Hey, you know, you asked Bill O'Brien several questions. I want to ask you a question on how you've seen Coach O'Brien over the last 12 months. How is this blue-white game, how is he approaching it differently than he did last year? Or is he approaching it any differently?
Well, I think things are a little bit different now, because you have to remember last year, he's learning personnel. He's learning the inner workings of his own staff. His staff is learning him. I mean, these guys may have all known each other, but you still have to now get into a working environment together and be cohesive. You have to learn all the players. The players have to learn you. You know the system. The players don't know the system. They're all trying to pick up the system. Okay? And, I mean, all that. Now you have players. I mean, he tells Allen Robinson, for example, I need you to do this. Allen Robinson knows, because he's done this so many times now, exactly what the coaching staff wants him to do. They look at Deion Barnes, we need you to do this. He knows exactly what they mean, or a Mike Hall, or a Glenn Carson. Now, the younger players that haven't been through it, the two quarterbacks. Neither one has gone through spring practice here before. Now, Stephen Bench certainly had the advantage of knowing what to expect offensively, but they've added to the packages. Tyler Ferguson has had to go through a crash course on this, like all the quarterbacks did and the entire team did last year. So for Bill O'Brien, always confident, but I think confident and more – Because there are more people that get what he's talking about from day one, more relaxed about it. Sense of urgency. There's always a sense of urgency. But more relaxed about it because they're not doing a crash course on every single phase of the operation here. I mean, even how you want to practice. Because, you know, how he wants to practice, you know, the pace he wants to practice at. You know, they had to get used to that a little bit. There's also maybe, you know, some of the drills are the same, some are different. Well, now, this year, to these guys, these are the same drills they did last year. So they're used to that. So there isn't that sense of cram coursing it all the time with every phase of the operation. And now you're fine-tuning some parts. You're adding in some parts. You're not starting with, this is a stance. This is, you know, this is a split. I need an 18-inch split here. They know instinctively when the play is called on this particular play, you need an 18-inch split up front. How about that?
Now, what about the players? You talked about that a little bit there, but what about the players? How have they responded differently this year as opposed to last year, or how's maybe the relationship as far as the players are concerned?
Well, everybody knows everybody. Now, for certain players, certain things have had to change a bit. Take Trevor Williams and Malik Golden. Both are now playing in the secondary. So certainly they have to get used to that. They're playing on a different side of the ball. But for the most part, most of the players are pretty comfortable with what they're doing. And I think, you know, I mean, there's certain guys. I mean, look, the two Smiths on the outside at the corners, Malik Golden, Trevor Williams, Adam Brenneman. These are all true freshmen, for example. So, you know, and obviously Tyler Ferguson, they all want to, you know, they all have to learn this. That's typical of any spring. So that's not different there. It's a much more normal spring, more of a veteran spring. You don't have to look at, like I said, Glenn Carson knows exactly what his responsibilities are. There are some subtle changes. And you have to remember, it's not for the players. Last year, it's not just learning the plays. You have to learn the terminology. Terminology is all different. And the terminology, I mean, Bill uses an NFL system on terminology. So terminology is a little longer than some college terminology. That's why Jerry DiNardo, when I was talking to him, I think I talked to Jerry on, I want to say Wednesday. Yeah, I think it was Wednesday I talked to Jerry on the phone. He said the one thing he was concerned about is whether Bill, without having a transmitter in the helmet, would be able to get the calls into his quarterbacks the way he needed to because the terminology is much longer, and it is. You know, so it's not just a question of where do I line up, what pattern do I run, which way do I block, how do I do all. You have to learn all new terminology because for, you know, take a guy that's a redshirt junior for 3 years, you heard different words. I mean, this is much more. And then the other part for his staff is that six of the opponents on the schedule this year are people they faced last year. That makes life a lot easier.
Well, and you talked about the learning curve. We've had a lot of folks call in and message in, you know, about Christian Hackenberg. And again, you know, there's a lot of stuff he's going to have to learn in a short amount of time.
Yeah, but I've said, you know, it's interesting about that. We have more questions about a guy that's never played a down in college than I've ever heard in my life.
Well, he got a lot of PR.
Well, he's got a lot of PR, you know, and he's got a lot to learn. I want him to be here at Penn State. I want him to be great. How about that? I want him to be a great player here. Not a good player, great player. But you have to somehow grow into the thing. I've never seen the guy throw a football. I mean, I'm on a talk show in Chattanooga, Tennessee yesterday after I did this show. Okay? Who do I get asked about? I get asked about him. And I said, I've never seen him throw a ball. Well, I've seen him throw a ball. He said, I was at that Army Navy. I said, okay, fine. You're one up on me. I don't know. But, you know, I'm sure he has all the talent in the world. Bill would never have gone after him as hard as he went after him, a guy that knows quarterbacks than all of us combined, unless he thought he had a chance to be a great player.
The big worry is, though, have fans set the bar too high?
Well, evidently a lot of people have, because I get asked more about him than I do the current players.
Oh, I bet. I understand. There's no question in my mind that that was the case.
And they think I'm full of you-know-what because I tell them, look, I've never seen him throw a ball. Come on. You've got to have some of it. Like,
you're not excited about it. That's the problem.
Okay, this doesn't – I mean, I've always decided that I would not give an opinion on somebody unless I actually saw them do something. Unless I actually saw them throw a ball, complete a pass, make a read, do something where I could like get a feel and evaluation myself as to what they're doing. And I don't want to watch a tape of him playing high school games because he's not going to be facing high school players.
Not the same competition, you're right.
So I want to see, you know, but I wanted him to be allowed to develop at his pace so that if he has a chance to be great, then he can be. There was a wise football philosopher I knew at one point in my life who said to me on several occasions, I'd rather play a guy a game too late than a game too early. That goes with anything in life. I'd rather have you broadcast a game too late in your life than a game too early in my profession.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome. Great to have you with us. Our number 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. Here in the Sunbury Motors studio, where it's a good place to be considering there's a tornado watch until 11 o'clock tonight for the entire valley and right across here into Happy Valley.
And what I've learned from the National Weather Service machine going off every 30 seconds is that a watch means conditions are favorable.
Yes, they're favorable. Tornado warning means they've actually had a sighting.
That's correct. It's either been on radar or on the ground sighted.
Right. So, I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And this is Friday. That means we're brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time to stock up on all the beverages for the weekend. And that would mean, of course, any beverage you can think of, plus, of course, snacks and the pickle bar. Right, series of questions you want to ask, eh?
Yes, yes. I want to start with a couple of positions that have been discussed on many websites as being ones that need filling. We'll put it that way. At fullback, it would appear to be, at least at the beginning of spring, Pat Zerbe, likely the one to step in.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, missed all of 2011 with a torn ACL. Your thoughts on the fullback position?
Well, Pat Zerbe would be the guy that is the fullback if they decide to go with that, and he has played fullback during the course of the spring, but he's not the only guy during the course of the spring that has been put in the fullback spot. Brent Wilkerson has been in the fullback spot a couple of times. Jesse James has been in the fullback spot a couple of times. There's a lot of things that Penn State does out of, quote, what we've referred to as window dressing. But they've lined up in a straight eye and have been lead blockers in the fullback spot. So they have a multitude of options there. Pat Zerbe is the pure fullback option and the one pure fullback option, really, that they would turn to. Next up, they would then use tight ends to be in that spot because they're capable of doing it. And just based on size, you know they can do it as well. Plus, they're good blockers.
Some have said they're interested in quarterback. Many have said they'll be interested at the linebacker position. What's the update there?
Yep. Linebacker is Jerry DiNardo and I, as I mentioned in the previous segment, talked on Wednesday, and he said he thought that was the one time they saw the numbers of the scholarships, having reduced scholarships, show up. Because then they're like, Bill's talking upper 60s here for scholarship guys this year. Well, you know, you're upper 60s. You know, you're at minimum 16 shy of having guys that are on scholarship that can play. Now, Gary Wooten, I mean, the first three guys are fine. I mean, there is nothing wrong. The first three guys, anybody like to have the first three guys, Glenn Carson, Naeem Wortman, and Mike Hull. Ben Klein comes back, so you're going to be okay there because Klein, he knows how to play either linebacking spot. No big deal. Brandon Bell's a true freshman that's entering that they're very high on, and Gary Wooten, I think, has actually made a nice transition from outside to playing that middle linebacking spot. So I think in the end, when this thing shakes out, they'll have a good two-deep situation at linebacker. And you need to have a good two-deep situation at linebacker. You need to be two-deep everywhere possible because it's a long season. Bumps, bruises, things do happen. So right now, I would label linebacking in the spring thin. I would label future linebacking when the preseason starts as being a better situation because Klein will be back, who's a veteran. Bell will have an opportunity to get in and maybe show what he can do at one of those outside spots. Wooten, I think, gained valuable experience during the course of the spring. So not great now, improving once August 2nd rolls around.
Klein and Wortman, are they both? They'll both be sophomores next season for the season?
Well, Klein will be a redshirt sophomore.
Right.
Wortman, I believe, ends up with a medical redshirt, so he'd be a redshirt freshman.
Oh, okay. So
he played in the Ohio University game and only on the opening kickoff against Virginia. That's where he got hurt.
So it's likely he'll be a redshirt freshman.
A redshirt freshman.
Which means there's a little bit of depth for some time, and these guys are going to get a lot of playing time here early on.
No question.
So that's definitely a positive in the future. All right, defensive line.
I think the defensive line's a really great spot. You have Deion Barnes, who's one of the best in the entire conference on that one side. The guy that's really come on the other side is C.J. Alani, and he's had a really good spring. I would think he's in the running to be one of the award winners tomorrow. Then Anthony Zettel, who had two sacks last year, 15 tackles. Brad Bars has had a really good spring at that other defensive end, so they're okay on the outside. Inside, Daquan Jones didn't do anything in the last 2 weeks. He had a minor ankle injury, big deal. He is the guy that you turn to. He's the next great defensive lineman. We're going to have Jordan Hill, an interview I did with Jordan Hill next week, and you know, we talked about Daquan Jones being the next great defensive lineman in that long line for Penn State. So you'll have Daquan Jones, probably Kyle Bobolets, and then you'll have Austin Johnson, who's a redshirt freshman, who I think has a chance down the road to be really good. Then between Brian Gaia, Derek Dowry, and the fact that Zettel can play inside if you need, and Bobolets, by the way, can play outside if you need. So those Zettel and Bobolets give them versatility there. I think the defensive line part is actually, I think that's a really good situation. There's no need to think about taking an offensive lineman and flipping him over. You know, and they did do that with Nate Cadogan. Nate Cadogan was flipped over, and Nate Cadogan's done pretty well there. He would be a backup at defensive tackle.
And then the final position, of course, and we kind of touched on this last half hour as well, was the quarterback position. I know that's probably one, besides linebackers, everybody's looking at because it's a high-profile spot.
Yeah, but it's more than that. You don't have guys with any experience at this level really playing. Stephen Bench got into the Virginia game. And what, he got into one other game late? Was it Indiana? And all he did in the Indiana game was hand the ball off. So for him, this is really a fresh start, and Tyler Ferguson as well. What's been interesting about the two of them is that on days where I thought one of them was really good, the other one was really good. And on a day where I thought one of them was down, the other one was down. They've never had a day that I saw in the 14. I went to all 14 practices. I never saw a single day where I walked out of there thinking that one had gained separation over the other. That's an odd thing to say or think, but that's exactly what I saw. My observation was, because there, I'll give you an example. Back when it was Bolden, Kevin Newsom, Matt McGloin, it was the three quarterbacks. It was the 2010 season. So in the preseason, McGloin would have a good day. I'd say McGloin probably had a good day where I thought he was the best of the three, 25-30% of the time. Bolden would have a good day where I thought he was the better one of the three, 33-40% of the time. There were two practices. I remember specifically, it was two, but there were two practices where I walked out and thought Kevin Newsom had the best day by far. There wasn't one day this spring where I walked out and said, well, Ferguson was better. Or walked out and said, well, you know, Bench was better. I never walked out any day and felt that one was better than the other on that particular day. There may have been some subtle things where one was better than the other and so forth, but for the most part, they've been pretty even with no separation between them. As Bill mentioned in the interview that we had on just after the news at 4:06, Matt McGloin went into the offseason, and Matt McGloin came back a different and better quarterback. There will not be a starter named out of this thing when it comes time to name a starter. When they talk about a depth chart, that's going to be an or. I know the Christian Hackenberg question comes up all the time. If he can catch up in terms of what they do between the end of June and the first week of August, he would give himself a shot. But it's not because these guys aren't better. They're better than they were a month ago. I mean, the first week was, I thought, kind of a rough week. They have not had a – they've had one – the first week was a rough week, but they've only had really one ragged day since. And I remember it was a Wednesday. In fact, the Monday, they had come off on a Monday, it's just like 2 weeks ago, and they had had literally a great practice. I think it was practice number six. It was a Monday. They had a great – I'm talking about everybody, to the point where Bill – said no conditioning. No conditioning. Because that they practiced everybody, the entire team practiced that well. When they got to practice seven, which was the Wednesday, the defense owned the offense. Quarterbacks did not have a great day in the whole thing. Then they bounced right back and did well in 8 and 9 and so forth. So that's what I mean. It was never like, okay, we're going to stick somebody in there. We're going to be, you know. And he's separated himself. There's been no separation. Bench moves really well. Has a good arm. And I think for the most part makes good decisions. I think pre-snap he seems pretty good. He seems to get him into the right protection. Seems to understand what coverage he's looking at and so forth. Ferguson has a really good arm. Really, it's live. And Ferguson does a great job of operating within that 3-4 foot circle in the pocket. You know, he's really been able to get a lot better than that. And so, I'm sorry.
No, I cut you off. I wanted to find out, though, you're talking about Ferguson now. Which do you think is harder, making the jump as a junior college player coming into Division I or a high school player? I would think that even a standout high school player would have a higher learning curve.
Yeah, I think they do.
I mean, I know that sounds like a kind of basic question, and it seems simple, but, you know, you could say that the junior college quarterback at least has seen, you know, a little higher level competition than a high school quarterback has.
Yeah, they have.
Thanks. Jackson. That was great.
5 days with her.
I was going to say, I knew when you started laughing, I was going to say, thanks. You just saw the new book, didn't you? Yes, the new Steve Jones book is entitled 5 Days with Her.
I think it's
and it's not a romance novel either.
I'll be frank with you, it's more of a pamphlet. Our number 1-800-795-9565. So you can jump right in, and we'd love to hear from you.
I mean, they're going to have to. I mean, there's a lot of things that they have to learn, obviously. I mean, there's no question about that. Any, I find it interesting. I'm going to have to answer, I feel like, so many Christian Hackenberg questions between now and the time he throws a ball.
Yeah.
That I actually see. Sit there. If people are going to say, oh, come on, what a kind of answer is that? I don't know. In my neighborhood, it's called an honest answer. I've never seen him throw a ball. I've never seen him throw a ball.
But if you saw a high school film of him, boy, I'm showing the age when I say film, but if you saw the high school DVD of throwing a ball, what can you get out of that? I mean, even as a coach recruiting, what can you see, and how do you see that developing into a college quarterback?
Well, they're smarter than I am when it comes to that. They know what they're looking for and why. What would I look for?
Sure.
Actually, I'd look for one of the things I'd look for would be their footwork. Do I see him have the ability to look off a receiver and then go a different direction, or does he lock on one guy? What kind of routes are they throwing at this high school level? Is everything like short underneath, or do I get a sense that he can take an out pattern, a 15-yard out, and can throw that thing on a line from a hash mark? Can he thread a needle? Does he put air under the ball when he's trying to throw the ball deep, or does he throw it on a line? I mean, I guess those are things that I would be looking for, and I think footwork's also very important. I really could not judge, for example, how good or how solid he is pre-snap. I mean, I'd have to find that out. But, I guess that's what I would look for. I mean, I just have to announce it. I don't have to evaluate it, so... I just have to know how to pronounce his name. Those are things I would look for. I mean, it's not perfect. I remember Anthony Morelli when he'd throw a ball. If I was standing on the sideline and he threw an out, and the out was near me, I mean, he's the only guy I've ever been around where I could hear the ball go by. That's what kind of velocity he put on the ball. I could hear the ball go by. And Jack and I commented on that one day when we were at a scrimmage. And we decided to watch the scrimmage from the sideline and not from the box. And, we commented on that. But, again, despite the great arm, great tools, and so forth, it didn't work out for him. A guy like Zach Mills was a good college quarterback. Not a great college quarterback, but a good college quarterback. He didn't have anywhere near the arm Morelli did. So... That would be, I don't have to evaluate them, but I also like to see things. I like to see things for myself. How well does a guy catch a ball? And I don't mean just once. Watching a guy catch a ball and the kind of route runner he is over 2-3 weeks of practice, one after another. It's not just a one-day evaluation. You want to see what they do. I mean, that's why when people tell me, I told people I thought Darryl Clark had the job over Pat Devlin won in the first week, I could just tell. Okay. Just something I could just see. And then I felt like Clark had a better arm than Devlin. And people would tell me, oh, how can you say that? How can you say that? Well, I watched them throw between the two of them 400 balls a week. I mean, they throw about 100 passes a day in practice. Various things, various drills, and so forth. So I'd see them throw 400 balls a week. I literally watched them in a five-week span throw 2,000 passes apiece. So, I mean, even my untrained eye at least can come up with something.
Well, my last question I'll let you finish because it's going to be a little bit more complex. My last question I'll let you finish after the break, and that's going to be to run down the format and how things work for tomorrow's blue-white game.
Well, I don't know the scoring system. They'll hand it to us tomorrow. I didn't look at Bill and say, hey, give me a sheet. I want to see what the scoring system. Whatever. They'll put a sheet in front of me. I'll go, okay, that's what it is. Fine.
Well, the rotation. Do you know what the rotation is going to be right now? I mean, first team against first team against second team. Well, I mean, that's what I was asking.
Oh, yeah, they'll do ones against ones. They'll start out ones against ones, then twos against twos, and then so forth. Then they'll start mixing it up a little bit as to who goes against whom. And it's going to be 12-minute quarters, standard first half. They'll play it out like it's a regular game in terms of how the clock is handled, but running clock 12 minutes each third and fourth quarter in the second half. We'll take a break. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome. Great to have you with us. Tomorrow, to me, as long as nobody gets hurt, that's the biggest. How do you lose the blue-white game if somebody gets hurt? If nobody gets hurt, it should be a fun day. It's going to be in the low 50s tomorrow here. There's a line of showers moving through now. It's a pretty intense line, but it's a very thin band moving through here now. It's all part of that cold front, and we do have a tornado watch in effect until 11 o'clock tonight. Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, snacks, pickle bar, and, of course, lots of beverages at our good friends Brewers Outlet. It's the weekend. Time to be ready. Better be ready.
And if you play it right, you can actually pull the double. You can go to Beaver Stadium, see the blue-white game, and then make it back in time for the 7:30 scheduled start of the Bucknell spring game.
We'll be done by 2 here.
Yeah, that's what I say. You've got plenty of time. You can even post-game tailgate for a while.
Yes, Dr. Hamm and I have discussed that.
I'm sure you have.
That was discussed.
I'm sure you have.
I got called by a friend down in Pittsburgh who played golf with Moeller and with Jack earlier this week, and they said all they kept talking about was, Steve got his parking passes. We're all set. That was the big concern going in. If I could get Moeller the parking pass, don't worry. Okay. The Rolling Zenos will be there.
I can announce this, though, for those of you going to the Bucknell game on Saturday night. It's scheduled as 4 15-minute quarters of running clock. Final 2 minutes will be normal clock. The initial possession and possession after scores will begin at the 30-yard line. Punts will be fair caught with no rush. One overtime period under normal rules if the game's tied at regulation.
All right. Good. Sounds get Joe Susan on next week.
Absolutely.
Talk with him about how things went in Bucknell. Big plus in the, the Patriots. We do all these things. Scholarships, things like that. What a great week we had after such a terrible start. Monday, obviously, we shelved everything we wanted to do Monday for continuous coverage of what happened in Boston. And the story is still playing out now as the manhunt continues in Watertown. For Kevin, I'm Steve. Thanks for joining us. Our thanks to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon from Beaver Stadium.